My first home was 98 King George Street in Greenwich, South London. Six prefabs, three pubs, a school, a church, and a yard where the electricity board kept cables. Two long rows of terraced houses faced each other at one end of the street. At the other, big houses with big doors and even bigger windows. There was a phone box next to one of the pubs, and when it rang, everyone came out to see who it was for. It was a tiny road, at one end of which was Greenwich Park. It was heaven being there. Its beauty shone on me from the trees at the sunset, from the bushes in the rain. It was there in all weathers. It was 1964. I was 10 years old, and this is when my memory really begins. In the early 1960s, our family was working class. We had a green bath and matching basin, a tin bath for outside and a shed. We had a cardinal red doorstep and a budgie called Joey. Dad had a bicycle, but never a driving license. Sunday roasts were traditional and wonderful. There was lots of it and crumble for afters. The radio played as we sat and ate our greens. A black and white telly occasionally spluttered into life. Lines would move up and down the screen until the valves warmed up, and then they stopped. Life was good, and I was happy killing ants with hot water and playing games in the garden with my mates, all two of them. Coconut, whose real name was Jimmy Thatcher, lived just down the street. We went to the same school and shared many adventures. He was called Coconut because he had three crowns on top of his head. My other mate, Gary Meads, lived what seemed like miles away by the river. He was tubby and had a ruddy face like me. We shared a love of collecting stamps and model aeroplanes. Each weekend we'd make things and paint them, mostly badly, while listening to the radio. Even today when I hear You Really Got Me by the Kinks, I'm transported back to small tins of paint and a tube of glue. Our prefab was a perfect home to grow up in, no stairs to climb, and a huge garden to hang out in, which went up a slight embankment at the back. My mum, who loved me and took me everywhere, was bright-faced and slightly round, like me today. A staunch Protestant from Coleraine in Northern Ireland, she enjoyed dancing and shouting at my dad when he occasionally came home from work drunk. She was a great cake maker, and I used to sit beneath the table and watch her and her friends bake. Icing sugar would fall like snow. Currants would occasionally drop on the floor, and I would pick them up, chewing the life out of them. It was a bit like being in a Tom and Jerry cartoon. All I could see were their legs and their knees. I was told not to speak unless spoken to. I was given jelly, cake, white bread with lemon curd, spread thickly on top. It was all about food and legs, handbags and toys. Mum and Dad had met in World War II, during his time in Belfast. He was waiting for a ship to take him to Africa. Mum was serving up food in the mess, and I guess they saw each other over the steaming Irish stew and fell in love. I can imagine them walking along the docks, holding hands, watching the stars and trying to stop each other from crying at how wonderful life was. Her ship did come in, but it took my dad away from her, off to war to fight the Germans. They'd just enough time to fall deeply in love and other stuff. 9 months later, while he was away, a telegram arrived to inform Dad of my brother Lou's birth. It was 1943. 3 years later, he came home to see his young boy. There on the dockside was Mum with Lou, waving flags and crying. And down the gangplank walked Sidney Lewis Difford, beaten by the years of war, but overcome to be on dry land. His son ran right past him. They were meeting for the first time. The drums must have been banging, the pipes piping, and the ship's horn blowing. Belfast in 1946. He wasn't home yet, but peace had broken out, and the war was a shadow that would follow my father around for the rest of his life, although he said nothing, ever.